Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Hello there, it is me again, with a little bit of a conversation about you and your time as the business owner. So I am pretty sure you're going to be very, very familiar with the idea and the concept and the everyday occurrence of what I'm about to talk about. So let's just imagine for a moment you're walking in the door, you've perhaps got your arms full, but it kind of starts from the moment you walk in. Oh, I just want to run something past you. Oh, have you got something? It'll only take a minute. Or I've been thinking about something. Can I just kind of check with you that it'll work? Have you just got a couple of minutes? I'm just not sure about something. You got the idea? So these sort of peppering of questions will happen pretty much every step you take. Sometimes you might be sort of navigating from the office to the bathroom, from your office to the lunchroom, in and out of the building, to and from the car park, all over the place. You just feel as though you are somewhat public property in your own business. And look, you know, it's completely understandable. Hey, you do want to be an approachable, available, friendly, helpful boss, for want of a better word. I don't particularly like that word, but you want to be kind of available. You want to be there for your team. You kind of want to be helpful, friendly. You want everyone to kind of, you know, come and work with you, but you want them to stay. So you want to solve their problems and get them going. And if they get this quick little answer, then they'll be able to serve customers or complete tasks. Whatever, whatever. Can you hear me waving my arms around here? I'm literally waving my arms around. So what happens is that every single minute, I think I'm exaggerating, but it doesn't feel like it, does it? So many minutes of your day are just taken away from your control, are taken away from the activities that you have on your schedule to complete that day. And it gets to kind of 4, maybe 5 in the afternoon, when all of a sudden you are actually kind of reaching for your to-do list and you actually have some clear air and some uninterrupted time with which to get your stuff done. Meanwhile, the whole sort of previous 6 hours, 7 hours, you have been kind of on call, on stage, available, queuing and A-ing and all sorts of other bits and pieces across the day. So it can be really, really frustrating and it can be very fatiguing and very draining, and it really can make business at times and being a team leader feel quite relentless. I'm wondering who is kind of putting their hands up right about now. I'm sure many people listening have had this experience in varying degrees across their business leadership career. Now, I tend to call them doorstop conversations, water cooler conversations, what if conversations, can I just have a minute conversations. You've probably got some other language for them on your side of the listening experience here. I think it's really interesting to kind of ask yourself the question, well, why did they ask? Whether it is a clinician or whether it is one of your customer service team, somebody else, why did they actually ask? What was the reason, the deep, dark kind of reason for them asking? Why didn't they know it? Why couldn't they figure it out? Why didn't they know where to go? Because digging into the why did they ask me is really tapping into agenda that you may really have to get into as the team leader, as the business leader. Otherwise, you are forever going to be their encyclopedia and their quick answer to a foxy question that they may in time be able to figure out for themselves. So I'm thinking that that's pretty much the aspirations of so many allied health business owners, that they have a high-performing team, a team who knows how to think for themselves, make decisions, know where their roles and responsibilities are, know what they can decide. They know when they have to push something up or down or out or even off the agenda altogether. And that there is that lovely hum of productive empowerment with the right amount of your time as the business owner as well. So back to the why. You may need to kind of pop your antenna up for a couple of weeks, because the why they asked me, motivator, may well be different for everybody. I would actually expect that. And you, as a business owner with a really glowing, fabulous EQ, will be picking this up very, very quickly now that I've alerted to it to you. So why are they asking these questions? Is it confusion? Do they actually not know what the answer is, what the policy is, what the procedure is? Do they not know where the resources are for them to actually figure it out themselves? So there could be a lack of clarity around some of your systems. There could be a little few gaps missing in some of the training on the business recipes and training and measurement on people's compliance to the business systems and recipes as well. Maybe that is the agenda for their question. Seeking clarity due to confusion, due to some patchy training, due to some variable compliance against the way you want things done. Maybe they're asking you because they lack confidence, or they're just second guessing themselves or doubting themselves, or maybe they're asking you because they really just don't know from a clinical point of view, and that this is an emerging gap in your documentation as well. Maybe they're asking you because they want a bit of your time. And it's important to them, it's important to their significance that they are seen with you, that they are asking you a question to be, you know, have their back packed. Oh, isn't that hilarious? Back patted. And sort of, you know, a little bit of a reward and recognition piece as well. Maybe they're sort of seeking that, your attention for something as well. Anyway, there's just some of the top. Was that top three? Was that top four? Didn't count them. Sorry. You got the gist of it. They're perhaps some of the motivators that I tend to analyze with clients the most. Confidence, clarity, wanting a bit of attention, little bit of patchiness and messiness, and variable compliance against policies and procedures that you've got in place. I'm sure now that you're listening that you will actually be thinking of other things. So the take-home message for this part of our conversation is, why are people asking me these questions? And what is it as a business owner that I need to be mapping and managing on the back of this awareness that I have? I've also got a suggestion that for a couple of weeks, you actually record every single question that you were asked as best you can humanly possibly do, okay? So running this log of questions will give you, it just saves your internal hard drive remembering them all, but it will also give you really good visibility about the questions that people are asking and how similar or how different they are. If people are asking similar questions, that really zooms your business leadership thinking into, aha, so we're not solid enough with ABC, could well be systems, training, whatever. Okay, and that is, you know, something that you can roll up your sleeves and get done. Hopefully you might even be able to delegate it to somebody else to bring in as well. So record all of those questions. Are they more clinical questions? Maybe your clinical governance frameworks perhaps aren't as solid as you thought. Are they more customer service questions? Aha, maybe there's a little bit of gap work there. Maybe there's a little bit of ironing out between your customer service team, your clinicians. Maybe you've changed some of your customer service policies and procedures, and maybe not everyone is up on it and kind of delivering in that same consistent way just yet as well. So run that log of frequently asked questions, FAQs, and hopefully your practice manager might be able to kind of go and have a look to see if there are resources and answers in the vault for those FAQs. But if not, it might be a little bit of development work as well. It might even be a reminder to bring some of those FAQs through to team meetings so that you're revising conversations, expectations, answers. This is the way we do things here in a one-to-many situation and getting everybody kind of topped up on the intel on that front as well. All right, so that's a little bit of background. Now, let's think, oh, goodness, dropping things here. Now, let's kind of switch gears a little and think about what happens in that moment in the hallway when you get that, can I just ask you something real quick? Have you got a minute? Just think of that moment. What, and this is really, really pivotal, and I've got to think about how to explain it for you. This is really pivotal. The more you answer and give the instruction and direction, the more you will be building dependency on yourself as the business encyclopedia, which you are, but it's just not practical for you to be the 24/7 business encyclopedia. So start to notice what your responses are. If you just blah, 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 the answer, and everyone goes off, then what has been learnt there? What has been achieved? You have essentially messaged that you are the person with all the answers and people will continue to come to you as well. So this is where you kind of shift into leadership mode a little bit. You may want to answer the question with a question. And I guess some examples off the top of my head are, where have you looked? What do you think? What worked last time? Who have you asked? Have you checked the manual? Have you checked the document? And to kind of just very elegantly push it back into the learning corner of the lovely teammate who is asking you this question as well. So that's one little tip. The other tip, I guess, is that sort of coach approach, which is kind of where this questioning is, where you're actually asking rather than telling. That is the essence of a coach approach. I'm not sure if you have a coach approach set up with your performance development framework in your business. I really, really hope that you do. It is such a magnificent way to bring out autonomy and independence and brilliance in people as well. The other way that you can sort of manage that moment is to actually push back a little bit differently and sort of say, not now. I can't do that right now. Not now. So you're not saying no, you're just saying not now. And that kind of then gives you a little pause and a little intake of breath and sort of say, bring that to the team meeting, where, you know, the whole topic can be discussed with the whole team. It will be great additional revision and learning for the whole team as well. Not now. That's a great question for your peer supervision session. Not now. Great question. Take it to your clinical coaching session or your clinical supervision session as well. Not now. So-and-so's got the answer to that. But just kind of have a few options up your sleeve, but start to prepare yourself to not always provide the answer, okay? I've been that business owner that sort of thinks, oh my gosh, it's just quicker if I do it myself. But that can create some really interesting personal thinking habits, and it can also create some non-thinking habits for the person who is asking you as well. Right. I wonder what you think of that. Wonder. By all means, give me a buzz and call me on this. I think this is just such a really interesting leadership piece. And to an extent, the same sort of applies for emails. The same may apply to sort of questions popping up in other pixel type places. So you may want to sort of think about what your response is and the habits that you may need to change in yourself around this questioning piece. Another strategy that could be good is for you to consider how you use your diary. Okay, so I've rabbited on about the default diary for years now, and there can be some sense in actually blocking into your diary all of the tasks that you do. Now, this will depend in your business whether you all share diaries, whether you all have visibility of diaries, whether your team have visibility of your diary. But if they start to see 2 hour marketing planning, then they will sort of step back and start to understand your obligations and where your energy and time and tasks are settling across the week. 2 hour finance meeting with so-and-so. Okay, that is going to be a non-interruption kind of time. Now, this will take a little bit of sort of thinking out from your point of view, because if you're blocking those things into your diary, which I hope you are, absolute critical working on the business activity, you kind of got to do the work in that time because, you know, this is kind of a little bit of accountability to team. If you've got that there, you may well be kind of asked on it in due course as well. Now, back to your diary. Have you heard of the idea of an open office, running an open office session? So this is when you are available. This might be one or a couple of blocks across the week that sit in your calendar. They'll probably be beautifully color-coded. This is when you are available to be interrupted. I'm doing air quotes, interrupted. As such, it means that the door is open and you are available for hopefully not too many questions, but you're available for that conversation. You're available for a quick this or a quick that, or can I just check in? So it means that you're sort of somewhat shepherding the team into pockets of time that suit you. Ideally, after lunch is good because that's kind of a lower energetic time as a rule. And could even be lunch breaks, things like that. Once again, you just don't want to queue at your door, but you also want to be available as well. So open office could be a really good way to go. Another strategy could also be some co-working time. I don't know how your office is set up. I don't know if you've got your own office. I don't know if you're kind of perched in the corner or if you're sharing workrooms, but to actually come in and sort of co-work with the crew also makes you available for some of that light touch questions, conversations, check-ins, things like that as well. And this is obviously on top of all of your performance development kind of framework across the business. So in a little bit of a recap, let's kind of think about how you are responding to the doorstop water cooler conversations, the have you just got a minute, can I run something past you moments. Start to think about what the motivations are and the reasons why that person is asking you. Record all of those questions and start to identify the frequently asked questions. See if you can delegate all of that to have a look at whether the answers are actually sitting there in your business recipes and resources, and that your team just aren't kind of, you know, doing the homework and doing the search and discovery themselves. And then sort of think about how you reply in the moment and how you can possibly coach through the moment very quickly, replying with a question that actually pushes the responsibility of the thinking and the figuring out, when appropriate, back to the person who is answering. Think also about how you can shepherd, how you can sort of say, not now, and to shepherd the questioner into team meetings, into peer supervision, into clinical supervision, clinical coaching, whatever activities you have supporting your gorgeous, gorgeous team. Think about how your availability is visible for the team, and whether some blocking out some big on the business activities will kind of guard your door a little, and you should be doing them anyway. And then to think about this open office idea, about when you are completely on stage, door open, up for a bit of a chat, and whether some co-working or something like that might be helpful as well. Alrighty, I am really, really interested to know how this works for you. I would love to hear. So by all means, get in my diary, have a chat. This is a really interesting topic, particularly as businesses grow. Some of these doorstop conversations are an indicator of growing pains in the business, where the team is actually performing ahead of the systems. That happens. And it's also a little bit of an indicator that your leadership role is sort of maturing really, really quickly as well. So let me know how you go. Alrighty, jump in for a power call, up for a bit of a chat. You know where I am. Talk soon. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues. The Private Practice Made Perfect podcast is brought to you by Experts on Air Podcast Network.